We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
Second down 10, Buccaneer 38, Brady in the gun. Gets the snap, drops back three, sets and winds up long pass down the far side. Intercepted! That'll do it. Troy Hill has picked off Brady on the far side. Or do they give it to Fuller? I think it was Jordan Fuller. Yep, Fuller makes his second interception of Brady tonight on the far sideline at about the 37.
Kevin, it's not open. I mean, Brady literally is forcing this ball down the middle seam to Cameron Brait, and there's a safety sitting right there, right in front of him, watching Brady throw the football. It's the easiest interception of his life right there. I'm not quite sure what Brady was looking at. That's the second bad throw tonight to the same defensive back of the Rams. It just doesn't make sense. I haven't seen two throws like that by Brady in a long time.
Oh, man. Kevin Harlan and Anthony Beck on the call last night for Westwood One. You heard it right here on WEI last night. This is not how it was supposed to go for Tom in Tampa, man. You're sitting at 7-4 now if you're Brady. And Tom, of all people, shockingly has been atrocious in these primetime games where Tom Brady usually excels. He's 1-3 in primetime, just 5 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. We're used to Tom Brady coming through in those critical situations, right? And last night, Brady's defense holds the Rams to a field goal late. So LA goes up 27-24. Brady then gets the ball back with 2 minutes and 32 seconds left. And as horrendous as Tom was playing in the second half, I felt as if he was going to come through. Tom's going to make up for the piss poor performance. He has to come through, right? Didn't you think Tom Brady was going to get a touchdown at the end of the game? Or at the very worst, the worst case scenario for Brady there was a field goal. Like something goes wrong, they kick a field goal, and you go into overtime. But for Tom Brady to throw that mind-numbing interception, he's looking for Cameron Brait. He just throws it to the safety, as you just heard there, Jordan Fuller. Tom, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? There's nobody open. It made no sense. I don't know what Tom Brady was looking at. This was a Jameis Winston-level interception. He just threw it up in the air. And it was nowhere near Brait. See, I feel like what has gone on for Tom Brady this year is when you surround yourself with stupid people, you become stupid. And Tom Brady's playing for a dumb head coach, so he's playing dumb. It's just kind of rubbing off on him. He can't help it. He's surrounded by this dumb individual for the entire season eventually. And we've seen as the season has gone on, Tom Brady has gotten worse. So that stupidity is rubbing off on Tom Brady, but that was jarring to watch last night. Sure, we've seen Tom throw picks, but like that, in that situation, he looked lost. Brian Barrett with you up until 1 a.m., the number 617-779-7937. What do you make of Tom Brady's situation in Tampa right now? See, there's no defending Tom's performance, but I just cannot stop thinking about the fact that he is wasting away with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're sitting in an NFC with no super powerhouse team. I mean, really, if you look at the landscape of the NFC, the Buccaneers with that roster, they should be dominating, but they're not. Look at the NFC. New Orleans, yeah, they're good, and they beat Tampa twice, of course, but Breeze is hurt. He has not looked great this season, and I know you can reference the completion percentage, but he can't throw down the field. That offense has limitations. It's either a quarterback with a neutral arm in Drew Brees that looks like he's just about done in terms of throwing the ball down the field, or Taysom Hill. So the Bucs should be better than the Saints, but they're not. The Seahawks have a crappy defense. We saw them get shredded by Cam Newton, who he can barely throw the ball down the field. Remember that Hail Mary the other day? And I get they have Carlos Dunlap, but he isn't exactly like prime time or prime Dwight Freeney or something along those lines. Seattle's not that good. That D is hot garbage. Yeah, Russell Wilson's great. But with the weapons that Tom has on offense and with the personnel they have defensively there, Tampa should be better than Seattle. the Rams, who beat Brady last night, they still have Jared Goff as their quarterback. He's fine. I'm not telling you Goff sucks, but you can very easily see him come undone in the postseason, right? We saw it in the Super Bowl. They put up 3 points in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. So you can very easily see that Rams team just completely sucking at some point during the postseason because their quarterback. If you get to Goff, he really has trouble. You've seen that throughout his career. So the Bucs on paper should be better than the Rams because Tom Brady is better than Jared Goff. Really, the Rams are close to where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are from a roster standpoint, but Tampa has the better quarterback, and the Packers are soft. You see that game against Indy? That defense is not great, and they don't really have weapons that Aaron Rodgers can depend on outside of Devontae Adams. And I get the Bucs beat them a couple of weeks back, but right now the Packers are the team that's going to host a playoff game, not the Bucs. The Bucs have this loaded roster, and Tom has put together this super team, so to speak, and they're about to be 7-5 with the Chiefs coming up next on their schedule. They, with their personnel, should be winning the NFC. They should be the number one seed in the NFC, or at least the number two seed. They should be winning their division, but they're a joke right now. And remember, too, when you look at the Saints and the fact that the Saints are ahead of them by 2 games, really 3 games, because they beat them twice. Also remember this. Michael Thomas missed most of the season. He played in week 1, and he didn't play again until, 2 weeks ago? The guy's barely played this season, and they're still ahead of you. A guy that led the NFL in not only receiving yards, but receptions last season as well. And the biggest issue there in Tampa that I see is the philosophy and their coaching. Their coach sucks. He's horrible. He does not deserve Tom Brady and his talent. He doesn't. And I'm not just talking about Tom Brady's talent. Bruce Arians doesn't deserve the talent on the football team. That team is loaded. Bruce Arians should not be coaching this team. They should have a good head coach in charge of that organization. So maybe there was part of Tom that wanted to try this new offense, right, that's different from what he ran in New England and throw the ball down the field more and try and prove people wrong, because how many years have we heard, oh yeah, Tom, he's a dink and dunk quarterback, and I don't agree with that. I'm just saying that's been kind of a narrative. Oh, Tom doesn't throw the ball down the field. He just checks it down. It's dink and dunk. We've heard that for years. Maybe Brady wanted to prove that whole idea wrong. So maybe it's that, or maybe it's just the coach sucks and Brady does want to run his own system now. But this whole idea of either Tom wanting to try a new offense or the fact that Arians, the head coach of the team, isn't willing to adapt to Tom Brady and what makes Tom Brady great is costing the Buccaneers a chance to get to the Super Bowl. And it's pure stupidity. You're running an offense that A, isn't good, and it's not innovative at all if you look at the Buccaneers' offense, and B, it's an offense that doesn't fit your quarterback skill set. If they were just running an offense that Tom Brady was used to, the Bucs would be the favorites to come out of the NFC. But he's playing in an offense that doesn't enhance his skill set whatsoever. Tom Brady is the best ever in totality, but in the intermediate passing game in particular. And those routes are few and far between when you watch the Buccaneers play with Bruce Arians' scheme. It's no risk it, no biscuit, baby. It's all or nothing. You aren't really even using Tom's brain to pick apart these defenses. You just want him to chuck it down the field, and no one's there. If no one's there, no one's open downfield. Mike Evans isn't open, or Antonio Brown isn't open. Just check it down to Leonard Fournette. That's your offense. Either throw it deep or check it down. Great strategy. Don't take advantage of what Tom Brady has been great at his entire career, which is the intermediate passing game. Those option routes to Julian Edelman, throwing the ball down the seam to Rob Gronkowski, James White running little routes out of the backfield. What Tom Brady has been great at throughout his NFL career, Bruce Arians doesn't even dig into that. He doesn't take advantage of Tom Brady's biggest strength. That is coaching malpractice. That'd be like saying, hey, Steph Curry, let's chill on the threes. Why don't we take a couple of more twos and less threes? It's like, no, he's the greatest shooter of all time. You want him taking as many threes as he possibly can. Tom made a living here with the Patriots for all those years. He hit singles. He hit doubles. And that set up the home run, right? And now he's just swinging for the fences constantly. So I just look at this and I start to think, at what point does Tom say I'm wasting my time? If I'm going to win a Super Bowl in my post-Patriots career, in my Patriots divorce, if you will, something needs to change. And that's clearly the offense. How can a team with Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Gronk, with the defense with the best linebacking group, Lavonte David and Devin White, those guys are outstanding. Two beasts up front in Sue, who can still play. Pierre Paul was outstanding last night. How can they be sixth in the NFC? It's just unacceptable. You are massively underachieving if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we know the Arians offense doesn't work with Brady. We've been through that. The thing that's really startling to me is you have Leonard Fournette as your third down back. And he couldn't make me miss. He can't make anybody miss in the open field. Yeah, occasionally he can run through a guy, but he's not going to make anybody miss. Why the hell would you bring him in on third down? And why did the Bucs sign LeSean McCoy then? I don't understand this one. That's the one thing that at this point, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. LeSean McCoy at this point in his career, yeah, I understand he's not the athlete he once was, but what he can do is catch the ball out of the backfield. And yet you're using Leonard Fournette in that role rather than LeSean McCoy. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But anyway, just besides the fact that this offense doesn't fit Tom, the other thing is this scheme is atrocious. They create no chaos for the defense whatsoever. When you watch some of the great offensive minds in the NFL, the Sean McVays, Kyle Shanahan, like we saw Sean McVay last night, Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, you think about Sean Payton in New Orleans, Andy Reid, of course, in Kansas City. What do they all have in common? Well, there's a ton of eye candy with their offenses, right? Before the ball is snapped, they use motion like crazy. Think about the Rams on the other side last night. They have guys coming in motion all the time with Coop and with Cooper Kupp, rather. I don't know who Coop is. But Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. And sometimes they'll get the ball right away. Sometimes they'll hand it off to him or one of those little push passes. And they get the ball quickly and they get their playmakers out in space. They do things to take advantage of their player's skill set. And by using all those motions, you confuse the defense. You make the defense have to think, which naturally is going to make them slower, right? Think about the Chiefs, for example, with Andy Reid. He has Tyreek Hill at times flying behind Pat Mahomes just as a complete decoy. The defense has to pay attention because the speed is so great out there. And then Mahomes is thrown in a completely different direction a second later. They create chaos. When you put guys in motion, that forces the defense to think. It works. The Rams went all the way to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff as their quarterback, who isn't even a top 10 quarterback in the league because the offensive scheme was so great. The 49ers just went to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. Because they create so much chaos for you with the defense. And in particular with San Francisco, it's that great running scheme, right? They would use Deebo Samuel in the running game as a receiver all the time to get out on the edge. Kyle Shanahan knew how to take advantage of defenses, even with personnel that wasn't as great as the personnel on the other side. And with Bruce Arians, he just has a stale, dumb system. Just think about it in reverse, right? So if a defense just lined up the same way the entire game against Tom Brady, what would he do? Well, he would shred them. We've seen it before. Remember, the one that comes to my mind is, remember that Chargers game a couple of years ago in the postseason when you had Gus Bradley was the defensive coordinator with the Chargers, and they just showed Tom Brady the same look the entire game, and you just eviscerated them, right? He shredded them to pieces, and the Patriots went on to an easy victory. It's like, really, this is the greatest player in the history of the sport, and you're just going to show him the same look the entire game? He's going to destroy you. So it's the reverse, right? It's the same thing last night. Now, the first half, they had some opportunities, did the Bucs, because of some pass interference calls that they drew, and their studs, Mike Evans in particular, Chris Godwin, they made some plays because of their individual greatness, but it wasn't because Arians schemed it up. But in the third quarter, after halftime, what happened? The Buccaneers come out, they have just 8 yards. Why? The Rams, oh, they did this crazy thing at halftime. They made an adjustment. All right, here's what we're going to do with Evans. Here's what we're going to do with Godwin. And here's when we're going to double. Because the Rams said, oh, you guys really are just going to line up the same way the entire time? Well, we have one of the best defenses in the league, and now we don't have to think. So you're doing us a favor. We can get downhill. We can put pressure in Brady's face, not to mention the fact that you're not helping out with these linemen who suck right now. They do not have a great offensive line. So you're going to continue to have Tom drop back in the pocket and try to throw it down the field. All right, we know what you're doing now. I mean, really, this is the game plan? Like, if you're the Rams last night, it must have been startling just to see a team that didn't make any adjustments whatsoever. But that's what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do on a weekly basis. It makes no sense. The Rams are sitting there being like, all right, cool. Yeah, we got it. So Arians and Byron Leftwich, they're not doing defenses any favors. Now, they do have some great players. So a lot of times when you play bad defenses like the Panthers a couple of weeks ago or the Broncos or the Chargers, yeah, they're going to light those defenses up because your personnel is so great. Evans and Godwin and Brown are going to get theirs. Now, the Chargers do have some good personnel. The problem is they're always hurt. But when you match up against a good defense like the Rams or like the Saints with a good scheme, they're going to give you a difficult time because you don't have any counters. The coach isn't going to help you get open. It's on you to get open. And that's not how the NFL works in 2020, at least not the good teams, teams that have been in the Super Bowl in recent history. That's not how the Chiefs operate. That's not how the Rams operate. That's not how the Niners operate. The good teams do more things at the line of scrimmage with motions, etc. And this is what really irritates me about Bruce Arians. All right, so did you hear this comment today that Arians made about Tom Brady throwing the deep ball? Here it is.
Bruce, it seems like over the last few weeks that Tom's accuracy has been off from what we saw maybe in the first half of the season. Are you seeing anything changing there with him?
Other than the deep ball, I think he's getting confused a few times with coverage. That might be causing some inaccurate balls, but I don't see it at all in practice. We're not missing the deep ball in practice, that's for sure. So it's just a matter on Sundays hitting them.
There's been a lot of criticism with some former players of Tom's that saying that really this offense isn't fitting what he does best. What would you say to them?
Whatever they want. I mean, he can do anything, so it's not like he can't do it. I see him do it all the time. He was doing it in September, so it hasn't changed.
Yeah, so it looks good in practice, Bruce, and nobody's right about the criticism. Even though, like, every NFL pundit is telling you your offense doesn't work with Tom Brady, it can't be that they're right and you're wrong. You have to be right. And in practice, it looks great. Yeah, well, no kidding. Who the hell's playing defense in practice? Look, Brady has not been throwing the deep ball well. I'm the first one to tell you that. 1 of 9 last night with 2 interceptions on the deep ball. Throws 15 yards down the field. But Bruce Arians says he isn't missing those at practice. Okay, well, was Jalen Ramsey out there in practice? Was Aaron Donald out there in practice? And the Rams defense knows exactly what you're running, Bruce. They outcoached you, okay? It isn't just the players not performing. It's you not scheming things up well enough. How about this stat? This is from Greg Allman from The Athletic, who covers the Bucs. This shocked me when I saw it because I'm thinking back to what happened last year. So Tom Brady is 18 for 58 on passes targeted 20 plus yards downfield per Pro Football Focus. And that 31% completion percentage is down from 40% on similar throws with the Patriots last year. He had 7 touchdowns and 3 interceptions on deep throws last year. But he had 3 touchdowns and 3 interceptions with the Bucs so far this year. So last year on deep throws down the field, 20 yards plus, Brady had more touchdowns and the same amount of interceptions, and this is throughout a whole season, and he had a higher completion percentage. So Brady was actually a better thrower of the deep ball last year with the Patriots than with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Why is that? How could that possibly happen? Tom Brady with that Patriots group last year with those weapons, he's actually better throwing the ball down the field last year than he is this year. Well, you know why? Because Josh McDaniels schemed up deep shots. It wasn't just like what we saw last night where it's all deep shots and you're hoping a few work out, right? Josh McDaniels does a great job and he would make things easier for Tom. We've seen it with Cam Newton. When Josh McDaniels has drawn up some deep shots, now sometimes Cam won't take them. Like now he did hit the one to Damir Bird the other day. But remember the first one where he instead threw it to Jacoby Myers to pick up a first down, but Damir Bird was open for a touchdown, right? So Josh McDaniels does a good job scheming these things up because the defense was thinking about Edelman underneath, or they were running the ball for 4 or 5 times in a row, or it was a double move where after Julian Edelman ran a slant, the next time he ran a double move, or whoever it was going down the field, whether it be Philip Dorsett, you set up the shot so the defense was caught off guard. With the Bucs, it's just like everybody's going deep. It's really amazing. The Pats' weapons sucked last year, yet Tom was more efficient throwing the ball down the field. The difference is the coaching here was just way better. After Julian Edelman, Brady's second leading receiver last year, and I'm talking about actual receivers because White statistically was, but I'm talking about actual receivers, was Philip Dorsett. That was his second leading receiver last year. Tampa's offense has 4 guys that can go down the field in Evans, Brown, Godwin, Scotty Miller, and heck, throw Gronk into the conversation down the seam there. Yet Brady's less efficient, or he was more efficient, I should say, throwing to Edelman and Philip Dorsett. Maybe it's time for Arians to just look in the mirror. It's your system, Bruce Arians, as a head coach. What you've done, what have you done? 1 playoff win, man. And the way Arians talks, well, the plays are there. He's just getting confused. What it sounds like to me is like an all-time great coach who has a young quarterback who needs the coach's approval. That's how Bruce Arians acts in these press opportunities. Maybe it's the head coach. Maybe it's you, Bruce Arians. It's as if Arians believes he has this offense that has been so great in the NFL for so long that it's just up to Tom to make this offense work. when it's really the other way around. Tom's the one that's been a three-time MVP and a six-time Super Bowl champ, not Bruce Arians. He acts as if he's like Bill Walsh or something, where everyone worked that played in his innovative offense. I mean, he had Joe Montana, then he had Steve Young, and I'm not diminishing those two individual talents, but I'm just saying, Bill Walsh was innovative with the West Coast offense, and everybody put in it worked and thrived, right? Bruce Arians has one playoff win as a head coach. Yeah, you won a Super Bowl as a coordinator in Pittsburgh, but that's because you had an all-world defense. It wasn't about your offense. It was the fact that you had, for years, the Troy Polamalus of the world, the James Harrisons of the world. That's what made those Pittsburgh teams great that won Super Bowls. It was their defense was incredible. It wasn't their offense. It was all about their defense, right? That's why you won Super Bowls. Bruce Arians thinks the world of his system and himself. The dude's out here rocking a red Kangol hat every game, after every game, on the sideline. You're the head coach of the team. What other NFL coach around the league has like a trademark in terms of what he wears on the sideline? Makes everything about him. Bruce Arians does that. The guy is completely all about himself. But the thing that I can't get over, I really can't fathom, A, the fact that this offense makes no sense with Tom in terms of what Tom's great at. B, you're not taking advantage of Tom's best attribute, which is his brain and his ability to tear apart defenses in the intermediate passing game. That thing, that just doesn't make any sense to me. When you know a player has this incredible strength, why wouldn't you take advantage of it? Because you're so stubborn, you're so bullheaded that you want to keep running your dumbass system that clearly doesn't work. And C, this system is so old school and it's so outdated. No wonder Jameis Winston threw north of 30 interceptions last year. Look at Tom Brady. He already has more interceptions this year than he did a season ago. Now, Brady's not going to throw as many as Jameis, but you're going to turn the ball over like crazy in this system because everything is into traffic, right? There's no layups for Tom Brady. And with the amount of talent this team has on offense, there should be layups all the time. You should be getting easy throw after easy throw after easy throw. Heck, I'm watching the Patriots at times this year. And I'm not telling you their offense is great because clearly it's not. But say a couple of weeks ago in that game against the Jets, and I know the Jets aren't great, but how many times did we just see Jacoby Myers wide open? Heck, we saw it the other day against the Texans. How many times did they get receivers wide open? You think that's because of the individual talent on the Patriots? No, it's because Josh McDaniels is finding a way to scheme this stuff up. And Bruce Arians just can't move away from his own system. But the reality of the situation is this. Bruce, this is going to cost you your job. Tom tried to adapt this year. He tried to adapt, but this is his 43-year-old season. Okay, he had a real opportunity in a NFC that does not have any powerhouse teams. They have good teams. The Rams are good. The Saints are good. The Packers are good. The Seattle Seahawks are good. But they don't have any overwhelming powerhouse, right? They don't have a Chiefs in the NFC. This should have been the Buccaneers' year to get to the Super Bowl. And if Bruce Arians just adjusted to Tom instead of the other way around, this team would be competing for a Super Bowl right now. That's what they would be doing. They would be the top seed in the NFC. And the other thing that I would mention is this. I liken this to Peyton Manning. When Peyton Manning went to Denver, after a couple weeks, they said, yeah, Peyton, just run your offense. And oh, guess what happened? They were one of the best teams in the NFL ever from that point on, basically in the Peyton Manning tenure. Now, I get at the end of the career, he wasn't the same guy anymore in 15. But for most of the time they were in Denver, they had one of the best three offenses in the NFL because they ran Peyton Manning's damn system. They didn't run a dumbass system that some other coach wanted to put in. They said, oh, yeah, we got a guy at that time that came into the organization as a four-time MVP. Let's do what he wants to do. Instead, here in Tampa, and maybe some of it is Tom. Maybe Tom thinks, hey, you know what? I left New England. People don't think I can throw the ball down the field. Let me do this. Maybe Tom thinks he can thrive in the system, but clearly he cannot. And the fact that there's just no easy opportunities for this offense makes zero sense to me. And Bruce Arians continually throwing people under the bus, it's not going to work out for him either. But Tom at 43 has got to think about entering into the next offseason at 44. It's not going to work with Bruce Arians. You got to get yourself a new coach. I mean, I told you for months it should be Josh McDaniels because McDaniels can just be Brady's puppet and McDaniels is going to have nobody else in terms of other suitors out there. Who the hell's hiring Josh McDaniels right now? He left Indianapolis at the altar. He was horrible in Denver. And you have all these young, innovative coaches across the sport when you're thinking about, say, like a Joe Brady, a Brian Daboll, Eric Bieniemy. If you want to go the college route, if you can really pry Lincoln Riley away from Norman, I just don't see what's so appealing about Josh McDaniels. So this may be his only opportunity. But if Tom Brady wants to get serious about actually hoisting a Lombardi trophy in Tampa, he's got to take this thing in his into his own control. Like, I understand the fact that Tom's basically running the front office. He brought in AB. He executed the Gronk trade. He wanted Fournette. He got him. He wanted LeSean McCoy. He got him. I understand he's doing all that stuff. But you're going to make sure you have an actual competent head coach, or at least neuter Bruce Arians. At least take the power away from Arians and say, we're running our offense, because this is not going to work in the short term or in the long term for Tom Brady. All right, a lot more to get into, including this. So we know Arians' system is not working for Brady. We know the Bucs have underachieved. But there is one thing that has really shocked me about Tom's time in Tampa. We'll get to that next right here on WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to what you want to hear. More of Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right. And we're with you until 1 a.m. If you want to weigh in on Tom Brady and his situation in Tampa, also, if you want to hit on the Patriots, what are your expectations for this team the rest of the way? I want to get into what they're going to do at the quarterback position in 2021. We'll do that in just a little bit. But if you want to weigh in anything Patriot-wise, what happened the other day, certainly welcome to do so. The number is 617-779-7937. We're with you until 1 a.m. So I did want to mention this real quickly because it's really incredible to look back at this. So do you remember when Tom Brady was considering where to go this offseason? And some of the possible destinations. It's crazy to think, like, none of those teams now, besides one of them, are actually regretting not signing Tom Brady. Which is fascinating to think about, right? Because you figure, all right, we get the greatest quarterback of all time. Even though he's 43, he's got to be better than the situation we have right now. But really think about these teams that were in on Brady. Or at least rumored to be in, right? For example, the Raiders. They were rumored to be in on Brady. Now, eventually, they decided to stick with Derek Carr. But Carr's having his best season. He's fifth in passer rating, 108.7, 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, completing nearly 70% of his passes. Oh, by the way, this is a complete digression. Did you hear some of the audibles the other night that Derek Carr was calling out? He was calling out James Harden for an ISO run. Oh, it was awesome. And he called Anthony Davis for a post. Oh, he was great. It was great. But anyway, getting back to the original point, we saw him go throw for throw on Sunday Night Football against Pat Mahomes. Not to mention, he beat Pat Mahomes earlier this season. This is a Raiders team that is going to the postseason. And Carr's passer rating is 13 points higher than Tom Brady's. So the Raiders at this point in time, they don't regret it that they're going to have Derek Carr as their quarterback. They're going to the playoffs behind Derek Carr. Now, I understand that the Raiders had a great offensive line, one of the best offensive lines in the entire sport. And you also factor in that they have a great running back in Josh Jacobs, but in the past couple of games, Derek Carr has been absolutely incredible. So the Raiders, you would think, yeah, they're not going anywhere this year. Heck, I thought that when they played the Patriots. The Patriots beat them down. And now the Raiders look like a legitimate AFC playoff team that could make some noise in the postseason. That's a good team that beat the Chiefs once and gave them all sorts of trouble the other night. And you think about it, Pat Mahomes goes down the field at the end of the game somehow. I don't know how Travis Kelce gets wide open. But they were really close to sweeping the Kansas City Chiefs this season. I came away from that game more impressed with the Raiders than the Chiefs. We know the Chiefs are great, but the Raiders, I did not see that performance coming, especially after what had happened a couple of weeks ago, and the Chiefs are apparently all pissed off about the victory lap that they did around Arrowhead Stadium. To see Derek Carr go out in that game and go throw for throw with Pat Mahomes, that was impressive. So the Raiders definitely do not regret not signing Tom Brady. And not that Tom Brady was going to go there, but they were just one of the rumored teams. They don't feel like, oh, we missed out on Brady. Derek Carr's been really good. How about the Chargers? Remember, that was one of the rumored teams for Tom Brady. And look what they found. Oh, yeah, this kid named Justin Herbert. He's been pretty good. He's been pretty damn good. And maybe, and I was not as high on Herbert coming out of the collegiate level than I guess some other people were. But I don't remember a lot of people being super high on Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon, quite frankly. Maybe part of it is like that Oregon offense. And if you watch any of the Rose Bowl, he was like running the ball more effectively than throwing it. That's kind of what threw me off. And I watched probably four or five of his games last season. It just, you could see he had a big arm, but you don't see the same player that you see at the NFL level where he's just throwing it all over the field. And as a rookie, a 104 passer rating, which is 9 points higher than Brady. Completion percentage at 68, which is better than Tom Brady, who's at 64.7. He has 22 touchdowns in 9 games this season, does Justin Herbert. And in L.A., part of the reason that you wanted Brady is obviously you were done with Rivers. But secondly was, well, we need a star, right? We're the Chargers. We didn't have fans. We didn't have fans in San Diego. We're going to L.A., that has the Clippers, that has the Lakers, more importantly, that has the Dodgers, that already has the Los Angeles Rams that made it to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago and actually has some built-in equity there in terms of the fan base because they were there previously. And if you were the Chargers, you're thinking, we need a star to bring us to L.A. Tom Brady, how could you get a bigger star than that? He's the greatest player in the history of the sport. Yet they're better off having this star because he's a young budding star that you can now build your whole marketing campaign around. So the Chargers definitely don't regret taking a shot on Tom Brady, or that Tom Brady didn't choose them, I should say, because ultimately Brady made the decision at the end, but they don't feel like they missed out on Tom Brady. They found a franchise caliber quarterback, and say what you want about Philip Rivers, really good quarterback for 15 years or so. Last year, not so great, but really good quarterback. Took him to the playoffs a bunch of times, right? And in 2006 had an incredible team, but nonetheless, he's a really good player for a long period of time, and now you go from him to Justin Herbert, that just looks like he's completely on a different stratosphere than Rivers from a talent perspective. I mean, the Chargers hit it out of the park. How about the Titans? They were at least linked to Tom. Remember when you had Tom Brady and Julian Edelman at that Syracuse basketball game against Duke? And Tom Brady and Julian Edelman were FaceTiming Mike Vrabel? Remember that? And we were all saying, oh yeah, he's going to Tennessee. He's definitely going to Tennessee. And it turned out it was more, it felt more like Tom had interest in Tennessee than Tennessee actually had interest in Tom. Because they were sticking with Tannehill. They gave him an extension. And Tannehill had a bad 3-4 weeks or so, but he turned it around last week against the Ravens. He had a decent season, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And the way that they run their offense there with Arthur Smith, who, fun fact about Arthur Smith, he's actually a billionaire and he's an offensive coordinator in the NFL. His dad owns FedEx, so I don't know why he's doing it. But apparently he likes coaching football, so hey. Money's not an issue for him. He's making money as an offensive coordinator. He's already a billionaire. But anyway, they like to use a lot of bootlegs and get the quarterback moving, right? And Tannehill's much more equipped to do that than Tom Brady. And look at where Tennessee is right now. If they beat Indianapolis coming up on Sunday, they're going to go back to first place in their division. So Tennessee's not regretting it anymore. The one team, or not that, at least they had a chance. If they wanted Tom, I believe Tom would have gone to Tennessee because of the connection with Vrabel. But they chose Tannehill, and Tannehill's working out fine for them this season. Like I said, he had that rough stretch, but overall he's been pretty good for them. And then you look at a team like San Francisco. Now, this is the one team. So I would say the Raiders definitely don't regret it because Carr is playing exceptional, or don't regret the fact. I can't even say regret with the Raiders, but Brady didn't choose them. The Chargers, they went with Herbert, and Brady didn't want to go there, but they don't feel like they missed out because they found their quarterback for the next 15 years. And then you look at Tennessee. They feel great with Tannehill. They feel like they can still compete in the AFC, and I don't see why they shouldn't feel that way right now. Number four is San Francisco. This is the one team that definitely does regret not going after Tom Brady because they had the best chance to get Tom. Think about it. From the Bay Area, Tom Brady, grew up in Montana, Steve Young fan. If he had an opportunity to go to the Niners, he would have gone there, especially considering the fact that that team the season prior had just made it to the Super Bowl. But Jimmy Garoppolo this year has sucked when he's played. He's thrown for 182 yards per game, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Or he's been injured. He's either been hurt or not good. And yeah, you can look at that San Francisco team and say, well, they've been decimated by injuries in terms of the defense and now on the offense as well. George Kittle's been out for weeks now. So they've had a ton of injuries, has San Francisco. So maybe Brady doesn't completely elevate that team. But remember, San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were watching film on Tom Brady because they were entertaining the possibility of bringing in Tom. Remember, this is a big story that they had to, like, not smooth it over with Jimmy Garoppolo. He acted like nothing happened, but they talked to Jimmy Garoppolo about they were actively at least considering going after Tom Brady. If you're San Francisco, you got to regret it, right? Especially now when you look at that division, you need a way better quarterback there. When you're looking at the fact that Seattle has Russell Wilson, and you're looking at the fact that Arizona now has a young stud in Kyler Murray, even a team like the Los Angeles Rams, Jared Goff is better than Jimmy Garoppolo right now, right? I'm not telling you Goff's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but he is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And you had a chance to go get Tom Brady with a roster that was Super Bowl ready right now, as we saw. They just made it into the postseason, or they just made it to the Super Bowl a year ago. You felt like, all right, Brady's an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo, but they went with, let's go with the 28-year-old over the 43-year-old, and that actually ended up being the wrong decision. So out of the possible teams that were actually interested in Tom Brady, or at least linked to Tom Brady, it's fascinating for me to look back and say there's only one of those teams that you could actually say, yeah, maybe they regret not bringing in Tom, and that's San Francisco. Other than that, not Tennessee. Not Las Vegas with Derek Carr, and definitely not the Chargers with Justin Herbert. And you felt like some of these teams are going to miss out on not having Tom Brady, and it just has not worked out that way. And I bet Tom is looking at it like, I'm sure he's not actively thinking about this right now, but if you injected him with truth serum at this point in time, probably like, oh, that would have been kind of nice playing for Kyle Shanahan. Shanahan, an offensive genius that made Robert Griffin III the rookie of the year over Andrew Luck, that made Kirk Cousins all kinds of money in Washington, that when he went to Atlanta and Matt Ryan was his quarterback, Matt Ryan had his best season ever, and he was the MVP of the NFL. That was Matt Ryan's best season. You had Brian Hoyer with the Browns. He was 7-6 before the ownership decided, hey, we got to put Johnny Manziel in. Brian Hoyer had an above 500 record with Kyle Shanahan as his offensive coordinator. Right, so all these guys have had success with Kyle Shanahan, and Brady knows how great of a coach he is. That would have been the perfect landing spot for Tom Brady, where you actually have a competent head coach, not an idiot like Bruce Arians, who's trying to run things there. Oh, speaking of that idiot, Bruce Arians continually throws other people under the bus. We'll get into that in just a little bit, and I also want to get into, in the next hour, more on the Patriots, because what the hell are they going to do in 2021 at the quarterback position? Cam Newton had some very interesting comments about that. We'll get into that in just a little bit here on WEI.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, and we're with you until 1 a.m. One thing that I can't get over with Tom Brady and mainly with Patriots fans is I don't understand the portion of the fan base. And I'm speaking from experience with this. My father's this way. I can't understand the fans of the Patriots that actually get enjoyment when Tom Brady fails. I don't understand it. I really don't. I can't comprehend why you would feel that way. I understand sticking with the laundry. I'm still a Patriots fan. I'm not a Buccaneers fan. But I don't like to see Tom Brady, like, for example, against the Chicago Bears, forgetting how many downs there are. That doesn't give me any enjoyment whatsoever. I don't enjoy seeing Tom Brady throw an interception at the end of the game last night to essentially end his team's opportunity to win a game. I just don't like it. I don't like seeing Tom Brady suffer. He gave you 6 Super Bowls. He was here for 6 Super Bowls. What else do you want from the guy? I don't understand how anybody can actively cheer against Tom Brady. What would you do if you were in Tom Brady's situation? And I know it's difficult to kind of put yourself in this context. It's difficult for most people to do it. But you had a Patriots team where 3 consecutive seasons you asked for a contract extension. And you were not given said contract extension. Remember, you won the MVP in 2017. And in this game called the Super Bowl, you threw for north of 500 yards. And you said, Bill, that extension. He said, no. We'll give you some incentives, which Tom didn't hit. 18, they win the Super Bowl. He asked for an extension. And Bill says, nah, we'll give you a little bit of a raise. They give him a raise. And they give him a fake extension. Remember that? It was announced as a 3-year contract extension, but it was just void years. He didn't get an extension then. And then this last offseason, they tell Tom Brady, yeah, we'll give you a 1-year deal. It's going to be worth less than you made last year. So we'll pay you less than you made last season, and we won't give you a 2-year contract extension. What would you like Tom Brady to do when there's 2 years, $50 million on the table from a different team? So if that's why you're cheering against Tom because he left the Patriots, I don't know what to tell you. Anybody in Tom Brady's shoes would have had to consider doing that, going to Tampa. And most people, I would say like 99% of people would have gone to Tampa when there was significantly more money on the table. And think about how bad that would have looked for Tom. He battled to get the franchise tag off the table. He said, I don't want you franchise tagging me because I want to make sure I have some leverage in contract negotiations. So if Tom came back when $50 million was on the table with a different team, you know how bad that would have looked for Tom? Just from an ego perspective, walk back with your tail in between your legs? I wouldn't have done that if I was Tom Brady. So you got to tell me, if you're one of those people that cheers against Tom Brady and you want to see Tom Brady fail, you got to tell me why you're doing it. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. 617-779-7937 is the number. Now, the other thing that doesn't make sense to me whatsoever is Bruce Arians. So here was Bruce Arians after the game on Tom Brady throwing the ball down the field.
Bruce, he's had some good games, Brady has, but at this point, I mean, what do you think is missing, particularly with the downfield throws? And would you consider, and I don't, look, I'm not trying to put this on one guy, but would you consider calling the plays yourself or doing something different with Byron or what?
Oh, no, I thought he called a good ball game. We got to execute better, you know. When guys are open, we got to hit them, and we can't misread coverage. We got to protect a little bit better when we do have guys deep, and let him hit that guy instead of have that pressure that cost us an interception. Just as a collective, everybody's got to play better.
All right. Well, Bruce, this is what I would say to you. You think that Byron Leftwich called a good game because it's your offense, because it's your philosophy. And he even acknowledges the fact that the protection's not good enough. Well, when are you going to come to the rational conclusion, the obvious conclusion, that your offensive line right now that's been suffering injuries left and right over the past couple of weeks, when are you actually going to acknowledge the fact that offensive line is not good enough to block for that extended period of time, especially when you have Aaron Donald on the other side of the field, like you did last night with the Los Angeles Rams? Maybe it's some of the strategy that's not working out. Maybe it's not just the inability to execute the play, both from the offensive line and from the receivers. Maybe some of it's the philosophy in general. The scheme in general just isn't good enough. That's the reality of the situation that Bruce Arians just fails to acknowledge. And for whatever reason, he has this elevated opinion of himself where he actually believes his system is like incredible and anybody can work in his system. Because you've had a couple of decent offenses with Carson Palmer through the years, I just don't understand why he has this unbelievable view of his offense. And part of coaching and part of being able to be a successful coach for an extended period of time is evolving your system. Just think about how many times Bill Belichick has gone from a 4-3 to a 3-4, back to a 4-3. Think about the times the offense has changed throughout the history of the Patriots franchise. Right? When Tom Brady first came here, it was a run-heavy scheme. Okay, and then they started to open it up, especially in 07. It was about Brady throwing the ball down the field. Then around 2012-ish, they decided, oh, we got these two great tight ends. Let's utilize the tight end more. And then when you get back to 2018, where Brady's starting to age, you say, all right, let's dial it back on Tom throwing all over the field, and let's be a run-heavy team. And they get a guy like Trent Brown in here, and they have James Devlin playing fullback, and they just want to pound the football. So coaching's about evolving. Bruce Arians will not change his system. He's running the same system he was for all those years in Arizona with Carson Palmer. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Oh, by the way, so here was Bruce Arians on the running backs dropping passes last night. Leonard Fournette dropped three.
Bruce, Leonard Fournette had three drops tonight. Ronald Jones had a drop. Is the running backs really hurting you in terms of not being reliable outlet passes or screen receivers for you guys?
Yeah, I had to look at Leonard's couple of were not really good throws either, but I wouldn't consider Rojo had a drop. We threw the screen a little quick, but no, I don't think so whatsoever.
I would agree with Bruce Arians in the sense that they weren't all great throws from Tom Brady, so I acknowledge what he's saying there is some truth to that. But you also have to factor in, this isn't what Leonard Fournette should be doing in the offense. This makes no sense whatsoever to be using Leonard Fournette. Like, would anybody ever think of, especially after seeing him play in Jacksonville for all those years, would anybody think when they see Leonard Fournette, you know what he screams? Third down back. Yep, that's my guy. Third down back, Leonard Fournette. Have you seen him? He looks like a fullback. He's got the build of a fullback, and you're utilizing him as your third down, like pass-catching back. Tom Brady is used to great receivers out of the backfield. Look at the lineage of Patriots third down running backs. It started with Kevin Faulk, who was great in that role. Then it went to Danny Woodhead. Then it went to Shane Vereen. And now it's James White. All those guys have very specific roles, right? They were not on the field all the time during first and second down. Now, when you were behind in games, they were, like James White in the Super Bowl, etc. But those guys were great catchers of the football, or receivers of the football. You look at a guy like Leonard Fournette, first of all, he doesn't have great hands, and you can give me, well, he had over 70 catches last year. Yeah, that was like checkdowns. Okay, that's what Leonard Fournette is in there for. It's checkdowns. So if you have a guy like LeSean McCoy on your roster, and I'm not telling you LeSean McCoy is LeSean McCoy from 5-6 years ago, but I do know this, he's a better option out of the backfield in obvious passing situations than Leonard Fournette, because you know what LeSean McCoy has? He has wiggle. He can make guys miss in the open field. Leonard Fournette can't do that. So maybe some of it is you got to acknowledge the guys you're putting in those positions. It makes no sense for them to actually be pass-catching backs because Leonard Fournette has never been considered a pass-catching back. What is the point of LeSean McCoy being on that roster? If you're not going to utilize him in terms of third down, might as well just cut him. What is LeSean McCoy doing on the Bucs right now? He doesn't even put his helmet on. Have you seen him on the sideline? They showed him last night. He's just sitting there. He doesn't even have his helmet anywhere near him because he knows he's not getting onto the football field. And I understand last year he didn't play a major role in Kansas City. I understand all that. I understand he's not the same player anymore. But if you really don't think he can add to this team, why is he still on the damn roster? Get rid of the guy or put him on the damn field. And if it were me making these decisions for Bruce Arians, I would tell you put that guy in the field right now. It makes no sense to have him there doing nothing. Oh, and by the way, this may be my favorite one. This was Bruce Arians on Brady's second interception that essentially ended the game.
I felt very, very comfortable in the two-minute drive until that throw. But we made some plays, and obviously we didn't make enough in this ball game, offensive, defense, or special teams, to win.
Both interceptions, I mean, were they just poor throws? Nobody was really
The first one, he got hit. He got hit. It looked like I had Chris going right down the middle, and stepped up and just didn't get enough on it with the pressure. And the last one was just a misread of the coverage.
So there he goes, just a misread of the coverage. I do agree with that. But the fact that he is so comfortable pointing out the issues with his team and the flaws with his team, I guess maybe part of it is because we're so used to Belichick, where he just says, hey, we got to coach better, we got to play better. He doesn't ordinarily call out his players, right? Like, Belichick's not going to do that. Is he going to be grumpy with the media? Is he going to be weird when he, weird's not the right word, but is he going to be combative when he does his weekly interview with OMF, especially with Lou Maloney? Yeah, he's going to be that way. But one thing I'll give Belichick a lot of credit for, and I understand we can point to the excuse making this season, but one thing I'll give Belichick a lot of credit for is when's the last time he's thrown one of his players under the bus? Bruce Arians does it consistently. Just think about that last night. Okay, he looks at specific players. He tells you Leonard Fournette is going to do a better job, weren't good enough. He told us earlier this season that Brady needs to use more grit at practice. He needs to display more grit at practice. You look at some of the crap he said last night about Tom Brady. Well, he's making the plays in practice, but not in the game field. So he's just so comfortable throwing guys under the bus. And when you look at what Belichick's done for all those years, yeah, we all know that he's calling guys out in front of the team. We all know that they're watching film and he's ripping guys left and right. But he's not going to go on a radio station like he does here every week. And he's definitely not, after the game, going to go to the podium and be all emotional like Bruce Arians is and just call out his players left and right. There's a reason Bruce Arians has one playoff win in his career. It's because his strategy sucks, and we're seeing it right now. But there's also part of building a team and building camaraderie. And if you're a member of that Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization right now, how do you feel that every time your coach goes out to the podium, he could just call you out? And that's without even watching the film, like after the game, saying, yeah, we got to watch the film. That's the easy cliche to use. He doesn't even do that. I mean, earlier this season, he called Tom Brady out for an interception, and he said it was his fault. And then a day later, he said, actually, after watching the film, it wasn't his fault. So you're willing to just go out there without seeing the play a second time and call out the quarterback? I mean, it's just, this guy doesn't think. That's the issue with Bruce Arians. He doesn't think before he talks, and he definitely doesn't put any thought into his offense whatsoever, because it sucks. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. All right, I do want to get into the Patriots. Cam Newton was asked on the Greg Hill Show if he would be back in 2021. We'll get to how Cam responded, plus what Bill really needs to do to address the quarterback position in 2021. We'll get to that next right here on WEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.